Our gospel lesson today is from Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. Hear this word of God for you today. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, also known as the Sea of Galilee, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets, and so he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore, and he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish, the nets were beginning to break. They signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at this catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Fill us, Lord, with a sense of your presence, we pray. Amen. Many people are familiar with today's story, even if they're not churchgoers. And most people are familiar with the phrase, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men," which is found in Matthew 4 and Mark 1. But here in the Gospel of Luke, the story is just a little bit different, with some different and extra details. And I think if we stop and pay attention to this story, we find a really compelling reason to follow Jesus today. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, maybe we should start with what it does not mean. Increasingly, the fastest growing group in America is the nuns. Those are people who, when asked their religious affiliation, say, "None." But surprisingly, most of these people consider themselves spiritual people who believe in God, but on their own terms. I was reading an article last week about a mom who was very proud that she had raised her kids without any concept of sin. Sounds a little bizarre, right? But she was teaching them to be ethical, moral, compassionate, caring for the needy and the environment, but without any relationship to church or concept of sin. Why? Because she was raised in a very strict Midwestern fundamentalist family where the idea of sin hung over her head all the time. She lived in fear of hell every day and was punished severely for every mistake. It pushed her so far away from God that she vowed if she ever had kids, she would shield them from that, which she did. But at what cost? Without a concept of sin, how do we understand any need for someone besides ourselves, any need for God? Without sin, I mean, we are on our own. We have no need of salvation, redemption, new life, and that can work for a while until it doesn't. People like this are everywhere. They care deeply about right and wrong. They teach their children to be compassionate people, but the solution they have to the brokenness in our world is just to work harder to achieve justice and overcome that brokenness, which is actually a really tall order for human beings. But if we're honest, we've all tried it. We've all tried it, right? You know, being in charge of the world. Haven't we all tried that? Being in charge of the world around us, trying to fix everything and everyone. And the problem is we eventually wear out, wear down, break down, and eventually we encounter a crisis that we cannot fix. Darn it. No matter how hard we try. Life starts to fall apart and we reach this choice. Either we reach to something beyond ourselves or we give up because we've done all we can. At Bible study this week, we were talking about the most transforming aspect of our Christian faith, and for me, it's the body of Christ, the church. Growing up in a difficult home situation with my biological mom, the local church became my real family, my lifeline. I wouldn't be here today without that community, and it's one reason I am a pastor, because I want people to know about God's grace and about God's grace in the body of Christ, the church. But that is a hard sell in today's world. Our culture values rugged individualism, doing your own thing, being on your own, handling things yourself, being in charge, keeping everything under control. In fact, we spend a ton of time and money in our world learning how to do everything ourselves, self-help. But where is the line for people of faith, especially between taking care of yourself and being self-centered? Many of us, myself included, do not do a good job at self-care. We work too much, don't eat right, don't exercise enough, find ourselves worn out. We need to learn self-care. But we don't need to become self-centered, and there's a big difference. In fact, as Christians, we could argue that being self-centered doesn't lead to self-care or care of anyone else. As Christians, we are called, just like the kids knew, to keep our eyes on Jesus, someone besides ourselves. In fact, we're called to love God and neighbor as ourselves, and to do that, we have to know that we are loved by God and not defined by anything we do, anything we have. And we must use that love to love our neighbors. This is different than the world's idea of life. The world is very focused on self. Jesus encourages us to focus on Him, and that leads to self-care and love of neighbor and love of God. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? What if it's less about finding ourselves or our own way in life and more about what it sounds like following Jesus, focusing on Him? I've often wondered when reading this story what was going on in the heart of Simon Peter before he left to follow Jesus that day. I wonder, was he happy as a fisherman? Did he think that he could just handle life on his own? Had he realized he needed something more, someone more? They say that God meets us right where we are, that God shows up in ordinary times and places, which is so true, and it's so true in this story. Did you notice that Jesus didn't wait until Simon showed up one day in the synagogue and responded to a sermon he preached? No. Jesus went outside the synagogue, there's a lesson there, to where Simon worked. He went to his office. He asked if he could borrow a boat to teach some people. He arrived as Simon and his friends were done with this hard day's work and they'd caught nothing or cleaning the nets to put him away for the night. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, what if it means taking risks? Doing something new, even if it sounds crazy. Jesus, the carpenter and preacher, came to Simon's office at the lake and proceeded to give this fisherman some advice on fishing. Can't you just feel his hesitation when Jesus says, "Put out in the deep water and let down your nets for a catch"? Simon, he says, we've already been working all night and have caught nothing. But if you say so, I'll let it down. The carpenter says, "Why not one more time in the deep water?" Kind of like when your mom says, "Just one more try for me." And the Bible says when they had done this, they caught so many fish that the nets were beginning to break. They had to call out for help and bring another boat in. What does it mean to follow Jesus? What if it means going deeper? Beyond the shallow, comfortable water where you could see everything all the way to the bottom. Think about that. What would that mean in your life today? What does it mean to follow Jesus? What if it means letting go? Letting go of ourselves, our ideas, our plans, our way that we thought was working in life until it wasn't. One lesson we see time and again in the Bible, from the parting of the Red Sea to the Jordan River crossing, is that God shows up when we give up. Jesus comes to our aid when we reach the end of ourselves, which makes sense, right? We really know we need Jesus when we know we need Jesus. When we have nothing left. Sometimes we're taken to the edge of life that way. We don't know in the story how long they'd been fishing unsuccessfully. They'd worked all night, but I wonder if it had been longer than that. I wonder if they had kind of hit a dry spell, like a farmer losing a crop. And I wonder if Simon had come to the end of himself, because that is so often when God arrives, when we realize we can't do this on our own. When have you been there? How have you realized that you can't do life on your own? Have you called out to Jesus, and are you ready for him to show up? What does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, what if it means leaving behind a lot? Our way, our control, our past. What if it means leaving behind the lives we created in order to find the life that God has for us? At the end of this story, those fishermen do something really astounding. They reel in that huge catch and then they walk away. They left everything and followed him. We've all heard that part of the story, but do we really think about it? Understand it? They left the lives they had created, the lives they knew, that they were comfortable with, in order to follow Jesus and find this new life that he offered. Were they afraid? I would say so. Because Jesus uses those famous four words that are known throughout all of Scripture: do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching people. Catching people. What does that mean? Matthew and Mark say, I'll make you fishers of people. The Greek here in Luke is not about reeling in fish. Zogreo is about catching and rescuing. Jesus was offering them a way of life that was much deeper, much more meaningful than just bringing in fish. He was offering them an opportunity to join in God's work of rescuing people, which is not easy. There's a reason Jesus says things like, those who want to follow me must deny themselves and take up their cross. There's a reason he tells his disciples, you will not always be accepted. You will not always be treated right. How did those early disciples get past that fear? Leave everything and follow? What Simon says is really important. When he follows Jesus' advice to put the net back out and it comes in overflowing with fish, he is overwhelmed. He is humbled. He suddenly has this awareness of who it is before him. He knew that Jesus was a great teacher, but here he knows that Jesus is God. He says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." That realization of who he is with creates this repentant and humble heart. Get away from me. I'm sinful. You are God. I am not. What do I know? That compels him to follow and obey Jesus. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, what if it means we too fall down at Jesus' feet? What if it means we too have to recognize who he is and who we are? Sinners in need of a Savior. What does it mean to follow Jesus? What if it means we expect God to show up? Novel idea. And do great things. What if it means we live our daily lives expecting some miracles? One of my favorite poets, Annie Dillard, she used to say that when we come to worship, when we come to church, we should really be wearing helmets and life preservers, and we need belts in the pews if we are expecting God to show up. I don't know if Peter expected God that day. It sounds like he didn't expect much in the way of fish. He probably let the nets down because he was too tired to argue. But what about us? Do we expect great things from our great God? Do we call on Jesus and expect blessings and miracles and a life beyond our imagination? Or are we so reliant on ourselves that we miss this awe and wonder of following Jesus? Do we go to God and expect God to break in and do something amazing in our lives? What does it mean to follow Jesus? What if it means we listen? We obey. Even if it doesn't make sense. Even if we're tired. Even if that nudge we heard from God sounds totally crazy. What if it means we take our eyes off ourselves and our circumstances and just focus on Jesus? We listen. We obey. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, what if it means we too go into the deep water, put out our nets, and expect a miracle? Yet, how often do we come here to worship without expecting anything? Without the expectation that God will even be here? Without much hope of leaving any different than when we walked in? How often do we pray not expecting much? We pray, but we don't expect a miracle. We pray and then we forget to pay attention to see how God is answering that prayer. What would it mean in our lives to expect great things from God? How can we do that? How can we open up our lives to God's possibilities? What does it mean to follow Jesus? One pastor I read this week says, following Jesus is risky business with great rewards. Isn't that the truth? What if following Jesus means taking risks, going out into the deep, opening our hearts to repentance and obedience, leaving behind everything we don't need, and expecting great things? What is that in your life right now? Where are you being asked to take a leap of faith or go deep? How is God humbling you, asking you to listen and obey? What are you being asked right now to leave behind? And what are you expecting from life with Jesus? The good news of the gospel today is that following Jesus leads us to real life, a deeper life, a new life of faith with unbelievable rewards. When we step out, when we turn to Jesus, we find that the life we created is nothing compared to the life offered to us through Jesus Christ. May we follow him. And to that, all God's people said, amen. Friends, please stand and let us affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed.